I'm Eric Peterson, your host of Crime Stoppers in Action. On October 20th, the Great Falls Cascade County Crime Stoppers organization held a panel discussion on the topic of drugs and our youth, what we all need to know and what we are up against. The panel discussion was sponsored by the University of Providence, First Interstate Bank, and Alliance for Youth. Law enforcement personnel, education leaders, and a licensed clinical professional counselor discussed the normalization of drugs, particularly marijuana, and how this is affecting youth. Each speaker's presentation has been made into an individual segment and broadcast on KGPR. Once they are broadcast, each program will be archived at the KGPR podcast site. This is the fifth and final segment in the Drugs and Our Youth series. Today we hear from an undercover detective who serves with the Great Falls Police Department.
What I want to discuss with you guys is kind of the local things we're dealing with here in Great Falls, Cascade County, in regards to narcotics. So what I really want to share with you, and you'll probably like this down there, Shane, is statistics numbers for you folks. So Montana, we typically, everything happens here a little later than the rest of the country. It seems all the trends that go on throughout the nation and throughout the rest of the world, honestly, they hit us a little later, and most of us were pretty much okay with that. The problem is when it does hit us, it really hits us really hard. So everyone's heard about the opioid epidemic, and that's kind of what I'm here mostly to talk about. Well, the opioid epidemic didn't really hit us too hard for quite a while, but then it just slammed into us here several years back. Stacy hit the nail on the head when she said meth is king. In Great Falls, Cascade County, the entire state, meth is still king. Meth is the most prevalent narcotic that we have. However, heroin for several years began taking over when the opioid epidemic finally hit us. Now, in the last, say, 12, 14, 16, 18 months, fentanyl has pretty much taken over heroin. And now here in Great Falls, we're just not seeing heroin anymore. We're seeing almost 100% fentanyl. So a couple statistics for you guys. We had in 2021, and I'm just going to read out the stats from the first part of the year till the end of September for last year, since that's kind of what we've gone through so far this year. So in those first 9 months of 2021, we had 60 reported overdoses, seven of which were fatal, and our patrol officers used Narcan 33 times. In the same amount of time in 2022, we had 110 reported overdoses and 17 fatal overdoses, and patrol used Narcan 34 times, so about the same amount. But the number of reported overdoses about doubled, and the number of fatal overdoses more than doubled. Now, those numbers of the reported overdoses, they pretty much mean nothing. And the reason being is that what it seems to be is that most of the survived overdoses don't get reported to law enforcement or medical staff. Now, pretty much make my living interviewing addicts every single day. I've been working narcotics for about 4 years of my career, and I've probably interviewed 1,000 or more addicts. And what they all tell me, everyone who's hooked on opioids, what they tell me is, yeah, I overdosed last week, or I overdosed twice the week before that. My buddy I was with overdosed yesterday. And did you call the cops? Did you call an ambulance? No, we had Narcan. So these folks are overdosing. They're treating each other with Narcan, which is good. We're saving lives. However, our stats are so skewed because they're not getting reported to law enforcement. The state of Montana, the most up-to-date numbers we could find, 2021, 773 reported overdoses, 141 of which were fatal. In 2022, 867 reported overdoses, 113 of which were fatal. So we've had a huge increase in overdoses, actually a decrease in the fatal, from at least the statistics we got from the state here recently. Most likely what we believe is due to the prevalence of Narcan being available to people. So a little bit about what we actually do. So we're not out there in the drug task force that I work in. We work in a regional drug task force where it's multiple different agencies. It's the PD, it's the Cascade County Sheriff's Office, DEA, FBI, Homeland Security. If I'm leaving anyone out and anyone's listening, I apologize. We got a lot of folks who come help us out quite a bit. We don't work street-level drug crimes. That's more for our patrol bureaus in both the CCSO and the GFPD to work. We work large-scale drug trafficking organizations. That's kind of our bread and butter, and that's what we're mandated to do. So we're not out there dealing with the everyday, gram-a-day drug user. We're out there dealing with people who are bringing multiple ounces or multiple pounds of narcotics into our communities. So we typically get larger seizures, and that's our goal, get larger seizures, bigger cases, and put more of the really bad guys in jail who are at the top of the chain of the drug trafficking organizations. So just last month, our task force and all of our partnering agencies, we took about 14 pounds of meth off the streets here just in Great Falls. I did some math, just because I always find it interesting to do math. I was always terrible at math until, weirdly enough, I started doing drug work, and then I started getting really good at it. I don't know what that means, but it's just kind of odd. So meth goes for a certain amount per pound when it's sold wholesale. So if you go down to the southwest border, you can buy a pound of methamphetamine for a relatively smaller amount of money, traffic it to more rural areas like Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, these places around us, and sell it that one single pound for a lot more money. However, that's not what the end user gets typically as a pound. They make them have a really good day, honestly, but it's not what they're typically getting. They usually buy in gram amounts. In grams, give or take $60, sometimes less, sometimes more, depending on how much product is in the community at the time. So I did some math, about 14 pounds of meth, if you gram it out, so that 14 pounds of meth has been distributed to each individual user. It's about $380,000 worth of meth just last month. And that's 1 month. A really interesting thing that kind of goes with that and back to the fentanyl stuff. 2021, we seized a couple few thousand fentanyl pills. We knew it was coming in. We just hadn't set up the resources in order to investigate those particular groups that were bringing the fentanyl yet, which we have done now, and now we're doing a much, much better job. So 2021, a couple few thousand pills. So far in 2022, we have seized somewhere between 16,000 and 17,000 pills. And so like I said, the rural areas, the prices are much higher, so people are really motivated to come to areas like ours in order to sell their products. I had the math written down here. So 16 to 17,000 pills with prices around our area or the outlying areas, anywhere between $500,000 to $800,000 worth of pills that we've taken off the street. And that's just, you know, this much that we've actually gotten off the street. There is so much money in this, is why people are so motivated to bring it to our communities. Another interesting thing, another thing we do in the drug task force is we look for wanted people, people who have large warrants for violent crimes, for drug crimes, look to get guns off the street. This year, we've taken about 150 guns off of drug dealers while we've been doing our jobs. So it's a lot of firearms we've taken off of people. So kind of again along the lines of money, but back on marijuana. So one thing that's kind of interesting is how much money is involved in the marijuana trade. Now, everyone thinks, yeah, it's legal, so whatever, who cares, right? That's not exactly the truth. When we do seizures, say we interdict a load of narcotics coming from another state, say Washington, Oregon, California, and we pick a car off, we pull it over, take the bad guy to jail, search the car, what do we find? Well, we find the typical methamphetamine, sometimes cocaine, heroin, fentanyl, but now more than ever we're seeing pounds and pounds and pounds of marijuana. Now why is that? It's legal in our state, right? So why would they be bringing something that's like they said, it's like bringing Coors Light into our state. We've got tons of Coors Light. Believe me, when I look at my garage fridge, I got tons of Coors. But the reason we think, and this is anecdotal, this is not any statistic, this is our opinion from what we've observed and learned, is that marijuana goes out the front door of the commercial properties, right? It's sold out the front door. But they're so good at growing this stuff that they can't sell out the front door what they're allowed to sell, that the rest of it goes out the back door. And they got to do something with it, right? Well, they're bringing it here And then from here, they're bringing it elsewhere where it's still illegal. The Dakotas, Chicago, or not Chicago, but the major metropolitan areas where it's still illegal around the state. So we see 6 to 7 times so far this year the marijuana that we seized last year. Another thing on the fentanyl is everyone's asking, well, how did this stuff end up getting here? And no one really knew because no one had seen it ever. They'd all, you know, we've seen heroin, we've seen methamphetamine, all that sort of stuff. What we found in speaking to people was they would go out to the source state, again, Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona. They would pick up their typical heroin or their methamphetamine, but the people they were picking it up from would say, hey, take a bag of this. And they'd throw them a bag of blue pills, you know, those fentanyl pills. Say, hey, go, you know, sell these for whatever you think you should sell them for. I don't care. Just sell them. And so they'd go back home. I don't know what these are, but they'd sell them. And then now they have all these new customers lined up. And they would go back and say, hey, I like those pills. I made some money off it. And they do it over and over and over again. And over the couple of years that started happening, now we're in kind of the mess that we're in now. So I want to read you guys something in regards to marijuana. And now we know it's legal medicinally or medically. We know it's legal recreationally. You can have a certain amount on you at any time and not get in trouble with the cops. I'm just going to read this verbatim for you guys. Now, this comes from the 2020 DEA National Drug Threat Assessment, just on the part about marijuana. So this is about people growing medical marijuana. Where in Colorado, say you can grow up to, I think it's 99 plants for medicinal. Is that correct? You know, something along those lines? Somewhere around those lines. All right. So a grower, someone growing marijuana for medicinal reasons with a little bit of experience and the right equipment, they can get about a pound of marijuana per plant in the 90-day growing cycle. If you have 6 marijuana plants, you can produce about 24 pounds in a year from those 6 plants through that 90-day growing cycle. On the black market, $800 to $1,000 a pound, roughly, which means that you can potentially get $19,000 to $24,000 per year for 6 legal plants. It's a lot of money. And now marijuana is still federally illegal, right? So you can't go buy it with a credit card. You have to use cash. So these places are chock full of cash. These places that produce it, these places that sell it. So what happens when everyone knows that a distributor, legal distributor, 3 minutes, all right, legal distributor is working only in cash and has tons of cash in their business? Well, the same thing we've already seen in our community is they get burglarized at night or they get robbed during the day. Colorado has seen an enormous increase in violent crime just around the marijuana trade. They've had armed robberies. They've had violent assaults. They've had homicides, all to get the money from the marijuana trade. So it's not just a plant. It's not just that it's legal. It's not, you know, everyone thinks it's cool to smoke. There's a lot of violence and criminal activity that comes along with it that's been brought along with the marijuana trade.
If you'd like to learn more about the local Crime Stoppers program, please visit the official City of Great Falls public website at greatfallsmt.net/police/crime-stoppers-0. This is Eric Peterson, your host of KGPR's Crime Stoppers in Action.